Hi there. Welcome to Sound Healing Radio. My name's David Gibson. And our show today is about releasing stuck emotions in the midst of challenges and conflicts. And we're also going to be talking about working with kids around emotions as well a bit. So our intention is that we all might be at peace and in bliss in the midst of the most intense challenge you could ever imagine. But before we get started, I want to tell you about some things happening here at the Institute. We have, we're in the middle of the semester right now in our sound healing program. And we have individual classes you could take here at the Institute. And then our next full semester begins January 17th, where we've got classes three nights a week and then some weekends on how sound affects you physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. It's a very profound program, very transforming, actually amazingly transforming for people. And we also have that same program online. I think the next start time is, actually, you could start next week, I think, is the next start time. It starts about every 2 weeks because we have ongoing enrollment. And it works really well online. That's Tuesday and Thursday nights and then Saturday mornings as well. We've got about 20 instructors total, so you get a wide perspective on everything. And all that information is at soundhealingcenter.com. We also have the audio recording program where you learn how to use Pro Tools or if you use Ableton Live or Logic, then you can use those programs. We teach you how to use the programs and how to actually use them to create music that affects people on another whole another level. So you learn about recording, mixing, and producing. That program here at the Institute starts January 18th, and online is actually starting this coming Friday. Online, we do 2 hours once a week, and then you have to do 5 or 6 hours of lab time on your own for the online version, and it works quite well. So that's also at soundhealingcenter.com. You can find information on that. We also have an open house coming up on Sunday, October 23rd, it's from 1 to 6 p.m., and we go through a lot of different information about how sound affects you physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, but also do a lot of sound meditations with bowls and voice, and everybody gets to go on the sound tables and sound lounges. So after about, it's interesting, people sometimes say, 5-6 hours? But it's really interesting. It's like people don't want to leave after even 5 hours. You know, it's just we get in the zone and nobody wants to leave every time. It's really, really a cool experience. I forgot to mention for the sound healing and recording classes, if you pay in full by October 25th, there's a big discount. You can get as much as $1,500 off. Let's see, what else? Oh, we also just had our big sound healing conference. Oh, my God. Again, just people walking around blissed out, hugging each other with sound, listening to sound healing music. I mean, amazing exhibitors and right on the ocean. It was just such a beautiful conference. And if you want to get recordings of it, you can go to conferencerecording.com. And it may not be posted yet, but you can just email them, and they can and get you the recordings of the conference. It was really just a blast. So those are the main things happening. We still have treatments we do here where we can find your soul frequency, where your metabolism is naturally in harmony, where your immune system flourishes. And then give you a CD in that key. We do that here at the Institute, or we can do it on Skype as well. And also, We do voice analysis where we can find what frequencies are missing in your voice and really just give you a CD and the key to help harmonize and break up that frequency environment that's holding it, different issues and even diseases. We also have, we do tuning fork treatments here. We do massage on the sound table. And we also have our store. We have a whole range of crystal bowls, alchemy bowls, Tibetan bowls. We've got didgeridoos. We've got all different types of technologies. We've got sound tables that vibrate you into bliss. Oh, my God, they're so effective. I get on almost every day. Sound lounges, just a full range of sound healing instruments and technologies. You can find that at soundoflove.com, soundoflove.com. So you can always also call me at 415-777-2486, or you can email me at david@soundhealingcenter.com. So it's interesting, you know, we've gotten a major grant to bring our sound healing curriculum into Montessori schools. And we're now implementing them into two Montessori schools here in the Bay Area. The owner helped us get the grant, actually. And we actually just went down and did like 50 exercises for the kids from 3 months old all the way up to 18 years old. And it was really interesting. When we went into the room with the babies from 3 months to 18 months, half of them were crying. And I went in with a crystal bowl, a gold alchemy bowl, a practitioner bowl, and I just hit it once. Boom. Actually, I got it right here. Let's see. I don't know if you can hear this well. I hit this bowl right here. And every baby stopped crying, and all of them turned and went, "What?" It was so beautiful. Then we actually toned to the babies, consist all the different vowels. We toned different rhythms and even tapped the rhythms on their feet. And then we sent love to them with a sound. And it was profound. They were totally mesmerized. It was so effective. So then we went into the room with the 18-month and 3-year-olds, and we had planned to try to get them to actually tone the vowels along with us, but they didn't want to do that. And in fact, you know, it's like at that age, their language skills are not even that great. But we did get them to do a frequency sweep from the lowest note up to the highest note, and crouch down on the low and reach for the sky on the high notes, and they were really into that. And then we did a circle where we played a rhythm and everybody marched to the rhythm and did that. Let me turn this off. And it was quite cool, especially when we went into the room with the 3 to 6-year-olds. There we had 25 kids, and they did all the vowels. They toned the vowels completely. We also did some rhythms. And then I had them send the sound of love to my kitty. And they were all into it. I said, "Look, this crystal ball is just like my kitty." I said, "You know, send love to my kitty." And they're all like, "Okay." It was so beautiful. And then I said, "Okay, now send that sound of love to yourself. Hug yourself and send it to yourself." And they're all like, "Really? Okay." And they all did it. While they're hugging themselves. It was so cool. And then I said, "Okay, let me play the crystal bowl and listen for the moment where the crystal bowl goes to silence." And they're all like totally listening. I said, "Raise your hand when you hear it go to silence." And I said, "Okay, can you still hear it now?" And they were all, half of them were like, yeah, even though it wasn't still going. And that's where the peace is. So it was very cool. I couldn't get them to make the sound of their emotions of how they were feeling, though. They were not going to do that. And also, I couldn't get them to make the sound of gibberish as well. Although they would do gibberish as if I just asked them to repeat it back, where I would make blah, 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 and then they would go blah, blah, blah. Right? So that was cool. And then in the 6 to 12-year-old room, they did all the sounds. They did all the things we did with the 3 to 6-year-olds. And then I taught them about the difference between coherent or incoherent sound. Sounds that are like, ah, that break your system down, and sounds that are really harmonious, like all the vowels. And then I said, okay, everybody do a vowel, and they're all going, and I made some really weird sounds. And I said, notice how you're not affected when I make that really weird sound if you're toning the vowels. And they're all like, cool. I said, that's a good way to be able to deal with any stress or any loud noises around you. And then we went into the room with the 12 to 18-year-olds and totally got them to do gibberish, make the sound of how they're feeling. I taught them how to find the resonant frequency of the hallway. I talked about the mathematical formula for it. And then we found the resonant frequency of different cavities in the body, including their heart. And they were totally into it. It was very cool. And so those are about 50 exercises. We've got about another 300 to go. And one of the exercises that we want to do with them is to teach them how to release stuck emotions with the voice. And we'll be training them from the beginning how to use the voice. And we're thinking around 12 years old, we'll actually start working on releasing the stuck emotions. And we realized that this could be dangerous. And it really was a whole kind of pushback on it that I came across. And because, you know, the deal is, say we've got a kid that is being abused at home, and we teach them how to release their emotions instead of being shut down, and then they go back and say F you to their parents. Well, not only could they get hurt, but social services could come and take them away. I mean, there could be a whole major problem that happens. So we realize we're going to have to be really careful. Also, the other situations, maybe they've never been allowed to express their emotions in the family. And then we get them to do that. And then again, there's a conflict between them and the parents. So we realize we're going to have to teach compassion for a good while, for a few years, before we can help have them start releasing stuck emotions. This is even going to be a bigger issue once we get into public and private schools, especially public schools. So it's really interesting, you know, and it occurred to me, this is why schools don't hardly ever deal with emotions. Maybe private schools do now, but most schools don't deal with emotions. I know I had no classes at all about how to deal with emotions when I was in school, because it's like a can of worms. It's really dangerous. And we realize we even have to have a therapist, you know, for kids who have been abused or have emotional issues. But we are not deterred. We are moving forward. And so it's just a lot more preparation we're going to have to do before we can introduce it in the exercises we'll do on compassion and getting them really comfortable making sound. And, you know, it's like after creating these 350 exercises from our sound healing curriculum for the kids, it just occurred to me, oh, my God, this is going to transform the kids that are doing this from the time they're 18 months or 1 year old all the way until they're 18 years old. They're going to be in their body. They're going to be making sound. They're going to learn how to release stuck emotions. They're going to be harmonizing from the beginning. And I think that's going to help drastically with ADD. So then I thought, oh my God, what if we really do, which the plan is, get this into public and private schools? And I know it's going to happen. It may take a long time, but it will happen eventually because it's so good for the health and learning of the kids as well. It's not just music education for fun, you know, or entertainment. So I got really excited, and we're really off and running. You know, but it leads me to the whole area of working with stuck emotions. You know, there's a major conundrum about emotions. Most people in the field, healing fields, agree that emotions, stuck emotions, can kill you. Not only stuck emotions, but emotions that are dissonant. They can actually kill you. They're associated with sounds that are not good for your body, like fears, like, ah, ah. Anger is like, arr. I saw a book once on how expressing rage actually destroys the veins. Or anxiety. Those are not good for you. They break down your system and they do kill you. But on the other hand, this is the conundrum. If you don't feel emotions, you can also die. Emotions can kill you, but if you don't feel them, they can kill you. That's the big conundrum. The big paradox. And I've really been thinking about it a lot and have some thoughts about it. If you stuff emotions or don't feel emotions, and there are a lot of people on this planet who are not feeling anything, it is death. Your system does not flourish. Your immune system starts breaking down. It goes, you're not running emotions. You're not healthy. We'll kill you, right? It's basically what your body says, right? So that is critical. The basis, you have to feel. But if you run an emotion for a long period of time, that's when it starts breaking you down. So the trick is to simply not have emotions stay in your body. I mean, stuck emotions are where they are simply looping and going for a really long time. That's when they break you down. I mean, for example, they say fear is manifest in the kidneys, right? That's based on Chinese medicine. Well, imagine being a kidney and having someone standing next to you going, ah, for hours and days and even months and even years on end. If I were a kidney, I'd give it up. And they do. These dissonant sounds, chaotic vibrations, break your body down. They're not good for you. But the deal is you have to feel them in the beginning. So almost, and this is a whole nother level. So a lot of people say, you know, just let them be, feel them, and they will go away. If you don't resist them, and that's really the biggest problem is when you resist them, that's when they get stuck. And that is true. They often will go away if you simply let them be. But sometimes they don't go away when you let them be. Like if you got abused, sexually abused, those emotions, if you just let it be, they often do not go away. They are in you at a cellular level. And so also, you know, it's like people say, well, okay, well, you just feel them for a short time then. That's the answer. Feel them for a short time. If you get angry for a short time, that's natural. And that is totally natural. I mean, anger is a system that helps us manifest things. So feeling anger for a short time is fine. Just don't let it, you know, stay in your system. Get rid of it. But then I start thinking, how short? How short? An hour? A day? 5 minutes? Well, if we can shorten the time, why not shorten it all the way? I mean, now you don't want to stuff it because that's, you know, then you're not feeling anything. But if you can shorten anger by simply learning compassion or running compassion, if you already know it, how to do it, you could nip it in the bud. You don't have to feel anger at all. But it's interesting. This is what I've come across, is I say, okay, you can take these emotions to a higher level, to a higher energy, and simply transmute them before they get into the body and start creating havoc on your nervous system, on your heart, on your liver, on your kidneys, on the whole system. And then people go, no, you got to feel your feelings. It's okay to feel your feelings. And it's true. Both are true. It's okay to feel your feelings. You don't want to resist them. But if you have a tool to transmute them, which is totally different than stuffing it, go for it. So using energies like compassion, love, and gratitude are really effective in overcoming these emotions that are killing you. Because I strongly believe that the ultimate goal is to simply live in these energies of gratitude, compassion, love, and oneness. And never have negative emotions, so to speak. Now, there are people that go to these higher emotions and resentment starts building up inside. That's a clear sign that the transmutation process was not complete. It means that they are stuffing it. Because if you simply ignore the emotion and immediately go to compassion, love, I think this is the key. It's when you simply immediately go to those emotions without addressing and transforming it, the lower emotion, that's when it could be a problem. So if you're angry, if you get angry about something and you just say, okay, I'm just going to run love. Well, you didn't really deal with the anger. But if you run compassion, now you're addressing exactly the behavior that caused the anger and changing that to a different energy. What I do is I commonly think, what brought them to do what they do? And now this energy of compassion, let me finish that. Normally, the answer is society. Society's entrainment of patterns that are about greed and selfishness, and also society awareness out, right? So then it's easy to in the face of that behavior that's upsetting you or causing anger, you can now, right in the face of it, hold this love and compassion for them, because it's not their fault. So that's the difference. It's really focusing. Now, there are a couple of emotions that I feel you can bypass completely. I don't even know if they would be called emotions, but I guess they are. People commonly refer to them as emotions. And that's fear and anxiety. I don't think you need to address or deal with any of with them at all. I think you need to just skip them and go to love. I mean, the fear could be that you need the fear to know to stay away from it, or to run, or to take action. But probably 98% of the fear in our society is useless. There is no action needed at all. I mean, it's like I was almost in an accident last year, and this car came screeching up to about 3 inches from my doorway, my passenger door, or no, my driver's door. And I just went into fear. I started shaking. Well, what good is that? The fear, the situation is gone. They didn't hit me. I mean, what's the point? I don't need to run. There's nothing to do. So I immediately started toning love and just completely bypassed that. I don't need to make the sound of fear in that situation. I mean, simply just go to love and calm the nervous system. Same with anxiety. What's the point? I mean, it's nice to think, okay, what caused the anxiety in the first place? What can I do differently? Emotions always do have a lesson or a point, but it's not like you need to hang out there to get that lesson. It breaks your system down. It's bad for you. It is not good for anything in your body, anxiety. So immediately go to compassion or love. So there's quite a few emotions that I feel are pretty useless. Again, you don't want to resist them, but why run energies that break your system down when you can run other energies? Okay. Now, I'm starting to think that most of the emotions, negative emotions, so to speak, are kind of useless. And this really goes against traditional mainstream, because the mainstream's always thinking, don't resist emotions, you got to feel them. But I'm talking the next level of consciousness. Don't resist them. Absolutely don't resist them. But when they're there, transmute them, transform them. There's no reason to hang out, even with something as simple as frustration. Frustration, you know? Why be in the energy of, when you could be in the energy of, what a difference, huh? It's a matter of transmuting them. But then there's the really interesting emotion of sadness. Sadness, I've been thinking about for many years now. I used to say, sadness does not break your system down. The sound of sadness is a beautiful sound. And that's true. There's a lot of sadness that is really sweet, that it does not break down your system. But now I realize there's two types of sadness. There is a sadness that's kind of like blah, 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 blah. I've been feeling a bit of sadness over a relationship recently. And I realized it's not a sweet energy. It's actually a blur. It's like, it's not depression now. Depression's way worse. It's just kind of like a low energy that kind of makes your system not flow as well. It's not intense, but it is low. It's kind of like just a little, and it, when I cry, I definitely feel better. And that's not resisting because I'm actually being in the sadness. And when you don't resist it, it can actually turn into sweetness. Let me talk about the sweet sadness again. The sweet sadness, the essence of it is when you cry and cry and cry, if you cry, and you get to a point where you're done. And there's this beautiful peace. It's not exactly happiness at all. But you're really just accepting and peaceful because the release of the crying helps let it go. That's the beautiful sadness. That sadness where you're not exactly happy at all, but you're at peace. It's like the energy of Kuan Yin. Holding all the sadness in her heart, all the suffering of the whole planet in her heart. Kuan Yin's not depressed. Kuan Yin's not even sad. Kuan Yin just holds that love, raises it to love. Beautiful sadness, you know? And it's right in alignment with grief. You can do grief and not have the angst to it. You can do sadness and not have the angst to it. The best example of sadness probably is a sad movie. I love sad movies. I love to cry because it feels such a release. But in their society, sadness has a bad name. If you look at the Wikipedia list of emotions, sadness is like the heading for all things like despair, the end of the world, depression. Sadness is like put in the bad area. But that's not true. Sadness is not always bad. Sadness can be beautiful. We love sad songs. We love sad movies often. Some people do. Some people don't because they don't want to go to that. It's like the difference between and there's all these people on the planet suffering intensely. We don't need to go to, sucks. We can just go, ooh. that energy does not break down your body. So the key is to go to the sweet sadness. If someone dies in your family, you don't want to bypass it. I don't think that's one you can bypass at all. Maybe there's some enlightened people that can go to, okay, it's okay. It's okay. It's the wheel of life. When my kitty died, I couldn't do that. I was sad for a week, but I didn't go to the grating sadness. I just was just sad. And I was so in my body and it felt great. It wasn't like the end of the world. It was just sweet sadness. I remember going to the grocery store and thinking, wow, all these people running around with their heads cut off, right? And I'm just so in my body, so present, because I'm not resisting the sadness of my kitty dying. Our society, it's like so against it. What are you, sad? Let me cheer you up. Let's go have a drink. Let's go get, you know, let's go distraction. That's it. Let's distract you. My mom died. You got to go back to work, you know. Better grip up. And as guys, it's even worse. I remember when I was on the football team in high school, it's like, and I got hurt. I was like, what are you going to cry? What are you, a girl? Well, it hurts. I always felt that when someone gets hurt on a football field, they should actually hold a huddle around the person and hold space for them to cry. And then when they're done crying, they go on with the game. Right? Seems silly until last year I heard a show on NPR about this famous football player who was now retired and coaching high school kids in football and elementary. And he had written a book about compassionate coaching. He said that the way we're treating our kids, especially on football teams, where we, you know, it's like someone gets hurt and the team just moves down the field and leaves them there. Or they say, grip up. I mean, he said that is emotionally scarring our kids. And he talked about a new technique where if someone gets hurt, everybody sits around him and does give empathy. Oh my God, I lost it. I had to pull the car over. I just couldn't see the road. Too much water in the eyes. There's hope for the world. It's amazing. So beautiful to let people be sad. But just realize that doesn't have to be a bummer. The main thing that makes it a bummer is thinking it's wrong or it's bad for you. Okay. So that's a really big one. Sweet sadness versus grating sadness. But then there's one other way of transforming sadness. This is a really interesting story. I now live out in this beautiful place in nature, and there's these two owls that keep coming around. About 2 months ago, I was feeling pretty sad about my loving relationship, and one of the owls showed up in a tree right in front of my house and sat there. We just looked at each other. He was there for 5 days. And then every night around almost exactly at the same time at sundown or dusk. And Then I woke up one morning and I was feeling really sad about the relationship. And so, being a sound person, I thought, I'm going to make the sound of this emotion. So I started wailing. And as soon as I started doing that, 4 in the morning, the owl flies up to my window, right like 3 feet from me, and starts going, whoo, 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 whoo. And in that moment, all sadness disappeared. Then yesterday, I was driving home, you know, still feeling a little sadness about this relationship, which actually seems to be resolving, but I'm still a little sad about it, right? And I thought, okay, this is getting ridiculous. I've been feeling sad on and off for a few months now, and it's not a sweet sadness. There's a little bit of to it, right? When I cry, it feels good, but still, there's definitely, I'm feeling a little bit of sadness, right? Not sweet. And I thought, okay, I'm done. Please, Lord, bring in an angel that is for my highest good to overcome this sadness and go to a place of power where I am whole, completely whole and heart open. And I felt this energy coming in, and then all of a sudden, I felt this owl energy. And it was like profound. It was really powerful. And the sadness went away again. And then that's when I was driving, actually, over this beautiful hill overlooking the ocean with an unbelievable sunset. And so I got home about 5 minutes later, and I pulled into the driveway, and sitting on the back fence of my house were the two owls. After just invoking and getting this owl energy, this was just yesterday. The two owls were sitting there. So I just sat there for like a half hour with them and brought this energy in of empowerment. No more sadness, no more dissonant sadness. And then it was interesting. I went into the house, they flew off, and I went in the house, and then I came back out and I sat on the front porch, and one of them came flying right by me and went and sat in a tree. I thought, well, if you didn't quite get it completely, here's a little more. It's very cool. So it's often about empowerment. It's really just going to a different energy. I am whole. I am not going to let this sadness rule my life. I am not. But you can't just say not, because the whole point is, where do you go? Not means you're going to bring on more of it. You have to know where to go. And where you go is to this higher energy where you are love, where you love yourself, where it's all perfect. It's like the third eye resonating and crown resonating. But totally on guard, like a spiritual warrior ready to cut through any sadness and immediately go up to the higher level again. It's just critical, and it's mastery. It takes mastery to be able to completely not allow this sadness and go to flow, go to your wisdom, go to wholeness, heart open. that feels like. And you can breathe again completely. That's probably the thing about these lower emotions. I haven't tested, but I could just about guarantee that every single lower emotion that are associated with dissonant sounds constrict your breath. I could just about, I mean, if you're frustrated even, I'm not breathing fully. If you're in fear, you're not really not breathing. If you're not feeling good enough, you're not breathing. But the second you're empowered, you breathe, and that's when your system heals. So often, a simple way is to breathe and tone with the breath. Breathe in. And tone as you breathe out. Breathe in. And tone as you breathe out. We have an heart monitor and a galvanic skin response unit. And we always hook people up every semester in the classes. And I found that I always ask people to tone. And the people that tone with the breath, their heart relaxes and their tension, which is measured by the galvanic skin response, goes down. Which is interesting because making sound actually creates a lot of tension in the body. It's work. And so galvanic skin response tension actually normally goes up when you make sound. Actually, it goes up dramatically. The heart might slow down and go into coherence, but the tension normally goes up. But when someone breathes and tones, they both go down. The heart rate goes down and the galvanic skin response goes down. And again, it's just like breathing in, natural breath, whatever rhythm is good for you. It's like, you know, a lot of people say, oh, breathe in 5, breathe out 20, or breathe in this number, breathe out that number. It's much better after going to a breath conference last year, breatharian conference. I found that the key is breathe at the rhythm that feels natural to you. Don't try and do anything other than what's perfectly natural. Do it deeper, but do it at a rhythm that's natural. And so, breathe in, and then make a sound as you breathe out. That's what puts your heart into coherence and lowers the tension measured by galvanic skin response. Cool. So, I want to go ahead and play a song called Enlightenment. And this song was done to the breath. I actually went into the energy of enlightenment and I did a breath and I set the tempo of the song to my breath. So breathe along with this. It even slows down near the end. And enjoy this deep breath where there's no sadness that's dissonant. It's just beautiful oneness and enlightenment. Thanks for listening and take care.